Grace, mercy, and peace from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon today is from our gospel reading, specifically looking at the Nunc Dimittis, which would be the Song of Simeon in verses 29 through 32. Now, the Nunc Dimittis is an important liturgical song, one of four that we find in the first couple chapters of Luke, alongside the Benedictus, which is the song of Zechariah, which is used during the service of Matins. That's what he sings after he finally can talk again, after he talked back to an angel. Long story. And the second is the Magnificat, which is the song of Mary, that is typically used during the Vespers service. And the last one would be the Gloria in Excelsis, the song of the angels, which they sang to the shepherds after announcing the birth of Jesus, which finds its way into the divine service. The names for all of these come from the first word or three in the Latin translation of the Bible, the Vulgate. Nunc Dimittis means now let us depart, or now you allow to depart, or now depart. It's the song of Simeon, who is a righteous old man, whom Luke describes in verse 25 as waiting for the consolation of Israel. Now, not everyone understands what the Nunc Dimittis means, so we're going to go through it and understand what this song says, and then consider what it means for us today. First, however, we need to understand where this is coming from and why this righteous old man is inspired out of the blue to sing to the baby Jesus. So we start in our gospel reading at verse 22, that the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses when they present Jesus in the temple. Now, the law in Leviticus chapter 12 declares a period of purification for a woman after childbirth, 40 days after the birth of a son. And so December 25th plus 40 days gives you February 2nd. And so for her purification, the woman is instructed to offer a lamb for a sacrifice, as well as either a pigeon or a turtle dove. If she can't afford that lamb, then she brings two birds. Mary and Joseph at this time are poor, so they can't afford the sacrificial lamb. Hence, in Luke chapter 2, it's a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And so, there's also an additional sacrifice or an additional step that they have to take because this is the birth of Mary's firstborn son. In Exodus chapter 13, God commands, "Consecrate to me all the firstborn, whatever is the first to open the womb among the people of Israel, both of man and of beast, is mine." And this is because of the plagues that God had sent against Egypt when God brought the people of Israel out of their slavery and bondage in Egypt. The last of the plagues, the one that finally forced Pharaoh's hand to let the people go, was the death of the firstborn. He killed the firstborn of Egypt, of man and of beast, from the son of the lowest slave up to the son of Pharaoh himself, and he spared or passed over the homes of the Israelites, thus consecrating to himself all the firstborn of Israel. And so that continues on through, and Jesus, as the firstborn son, is presented and to be redeemed for the redemption of the firstborn. However, Luke doesn't actually say anything in our text about the sacrifice to redeem the firstborn son, Jesus. Because Jesus himself is the redeemer. He is the sacrifice which makes the sacrifice work. He is the one who redeems, not the one to be redeemed. Now, all of this is important for bringing newborn children into the people of God. This morning, we're doing something similar as we celebrate National Lutheran Schools Week, bringing the kids from St. John here to worship with us and bless us with their musical talents. And so we continue on into verse 25. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. We're not told how God revealed to Simeon that he would not see death before he saw the Christ. We're simply told that he is a righteous man, that the Holy Spirit is upon him, and that he believes this promise that he has been given by God. And so the Holy Spirit brings him into the temple with the same phrase that's often used of the prophets when God brings them somewhere for his purpose. Perhaps Simeon knew why he was in the temple that day. Perhaps he was just going where God commanded him to go. But either way, he is in the temple and something wonderful happens while he is there. In verse 28, he took Jesus up in his arms and blessed God, and then he speaks. How did he know that this was the correct child? God revealed it to him. How does God reveal it? We're not told. But the gift that he receives here, for which he is blessing God, is a gift that God that he receives from God of seeing his salvation. And at the same time, he blesses God for this opportunity he has to see God himself. And so, if you want to follow along, verses 29 through 32 is the song that Simeon sings. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. Now that Simeon has seen God's peace, has seen God's promise, the gospel with his own eyes, he knows that eternal life is his. He can depart from this life knowing that this life is not the end of the story. There is eternal life and salvation, and he held that salvation in his hands. Remember, the Song of Simeon is not about death. It is about life, eternal life. The consolation of Israel that he is holding in is for all people. It is this child who was born to be the Savior of the world, who took on himself human flesh to do under the law, to fulfill under the law what we could not for ourselves. In John chapter 8, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life, the light which is shown into the world to reveal God's promise to all people. How incredible this experience was for Simeon. But what do we learn from this? Well, first we can talk about how parents and other authorities do have an important role in their child's faith development. Before Jesus could speak or walk on his own, there were important things that he had to do or which had to be fulfilled under the law on his behalf. And so Jesus' parents did it for him. They had him circumcised on the eighth day. They presented him in the temple on the 40th day. They raised him to know God, know and love his heavenly Father. And parents today have that same responsibility for their children. Teachers, especially our called teachers, also help to encourage and nurture the faith of their students. But the greatest influence on a child's faith comes from their parents. Second, we can talk about the promise that God gives in Jesus, which is not about death. It is about eternal life. Simeon is not saying here, come soon, sweet death. Simeon is not looking at death when he holds Jesus. Simeon is looking at the root and source of eternal life, abundant life, life in Christ. The message of the incarnation, of Jesus' presentation in the temple, of Jesus' entire life is not about dying and going to heaven. The message God has is that every aspect of our life is in his control, is under his care, is blessed by him. Third, the light of God's revelation is for all people, both the Jews and the Gentiles. Jesus was brought into the temple to fulfill the Old Testament law, which was handed down through Moses to God's chosen people of Israel, something that we as Gentiles, the nations, are not required or obligated to do. We don't have to present our child in the temple in Jerusalem on the 40th day, which is a good thing because there's no temple in Jerusalem. The Old Testament law does not apply to us. And yet the Messiah who fulfilled the Old Testament law in every respect is also the Messiah of Gentiles, of us. Simeon brings Gentiles into God's promise when he says that Jesus is a light for revelation to the Gentiles. So the salvation isn't just for some people, it is for all people. The song is one that we use after communion because we experience the presence of God when he gives us himself on his altar. In Holy Communion, we actually hold salvation in the palm of our hand and place God's salvation on our tongue. Now, ultimately, this song is about life. It is about eternal life in Christ. This eternal life is ours through faith in Jesus Christ, who is presented in the temple on our behalf, the spotless sacrificial lamb who would take our place under the law, fulfilling it in all its parts on our behalf, who would then present us to his Father, spotless as he is spotless. This lamb would be sacrificed to pay the full price of the law for us, a price that we could never pay for ourselves. And thus our God bids us to depart in peace. His word is fulfilled. We have been redeemed. We have seen his salvation. And we have received the eternal life which is ours in Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, unto life everlasting. Amen.